which you have just eaten, that which your teeth have just torn apart, your taste buds have savored, that was human meat.
I'm Acadia Einstein, and this is Strangeful Things.
Brett. Go. Will you come back to me?
And that's a mess. What are these?
All right. So I want to say right now, in this episode, if I talk or you talk about someone eating someone, we do not mean the sexy way.
Oh, Jesus.
No, sir. No, oh, ma'am. Oh. Talking about cannibals, cannibalism, people who eat people.
Yep.
And I want you to know that I assume that I would eat you and or Kenny and or B-Nev at the drop of a hat.
I would cook you up.
Maybe a leg, an arm could be tasty, make a stew. Or I would spend a lot of time having you prepared and then get a pizza while you just go to waste. Leave you in the fridge, reach past you to get something like relish, something way in the back. And then one day I'd look in the fridge and just, like, you know how you look in the fridge and then you just yell to the house in general? I'd be like, how long has this Kenny and Jen and B-Nev Succotash pie casserole been in here? And nice. When nobody knows, I would just throw you away. And that is how you died.
You're rude.
I'm just saying.
Rude.
Will eat you.
You're very
rude. I wouldn't even
rude.
Need to be that hungry, I don't think.
Yeah.
Nope. Would you?
I would not. I have problems eating things that seem gross, and I'm pretty sure I could not make myself eat that. I don't even think I could eat my cats. I don't think I could eat any animal or person that I knew, or no. I don't even think if I was out living in the woods scavenging for stuff and I found, like, a dog that I could eat it. I couldn't. I would just have to eat berries, and I'd probably eat a poison berry and die. By the way, every time I think about trying to, like, scavenge vegetables in the woods, I think of that Simpsons episode where the kids are stuck. It turns into, like, what's the fucking story where the kids get stranded on an island?
Survivor?
No. It's a book.
Castaway.
No, it's a book. Jesus. Jaws. Oh, my God. No, they, like, make a little kingdom.
Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. I think there's, like, a Simpsons episode that's like that, but not really. But they get, like, stuck on a field trip somewhere or something, and Ralph eats poison berries, and he says, "These berries taste like burning."
Burning.
That would be me. I'd be like, oh, these look okay. And then I'd be like, oh, I'm dying now.
Poor Ralph.
I know.
Well, is there anyone you would eat?
There are people I would kill for sure, but I don't think there's anyone I would eat because I would be too disgusted at the fact that I was eating a person. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if I was, maybe I can't say because I've never been close to starving, but I can't imagine doing it.
That was human meat.
And I'd have to hate them. I couldn't eat like my friend, you know, I'd have to like kill them and like be their victor in battle and then eat them.
Guess what?
Like as punishment. What?
You just described a kind of cannibalism.
Sweet. The cool kind.
Has a name.
Nice.
And you're going to read it.
I can't wait.
So, I would eat King, what's his name? Kim Jong-un.
You would eat him?
If that's the only way to kill him.
You do it.
You know what? That'd be it. If the only way to kill him is to eat him, who would you eat?
Oh, God, that's terrible. Could I throw up afterwards?
Oh, sure. Do whatever you want.
Well, then should I just start listing all the people that I wish were dead? Because I think I might get in trouble.
The show has a time limit.
The show has a time limit. I'm pretty sure the NSA is screening this, so I'm not going to do that.
Your computer only has a certain amount of gigabytes.
That's right. It will run out of storage because it's a Mac, and so it has a fucking flash drive, not a real hard drive. So it will actually run out of room.
Oh. Well, then. Let me explain, like I said a little bit earlier, this show is definitely about cannibalism, but what I didn't tell you is that this is the first ever show that's going to be a two-potter.
Yeah. Because it's too much.
I did not have room to fit all the cannibalism goodness in one episode.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. It is.
So, like I said, there's different kinds of cannibalism, including people who refuse to eat other people like you, who are known as cantibles.
That's right.
And since you are the deliverer of science,
yes,
it's time for a bulleted list.
All right. So when you're talking about cannibals, they fall into different categories, and they all center around exactly why you are doing the cannibalizing. So let's break it down, and then after that, we will make ourselves good and sick with actual examples. Survival cannibalism is when you are in a situation where the only thing there is to eat is other people. Eat them or die. Learned cannibalism is when you eat people because your parents told you to. Like Catholics, sort of. And there are two different types of that. Endocannibalism is when you eat your own people. Exocannibalism is when you eat the other guy. Pathological cannibalism is what serial killers do. So, for instance, Hannibal, which we both watched that show, except you were a quitter and you didn't finish, right?
That's right.
What the fuck cannibalism is one story that I don't want to think about. Well, I don't know what that means.
But you don't want to think about it? But you're going to read it later.
Oh, God. Okay. Auto-cannibalism is when you eat yourself, not to be confused with when your dumb-ass brother makes you hit yourself. And finally, forced auto-cannibalism is the worst thing there was ever, and oh, my God, our planet should be destroyed. That happens in Hannibal, too. Okay. So, we're supposed to discuss these things now? Like I said, I don't really think I could do it at all.
Well, like,
I said maybe for survival, but then I'd still want it to be like somebody that I like, you know, I survived starving and then also killing them because they were coming to harm me or something. Then I would eat them as a celebration, and then I would probably immediately throw up.
And that is exocannibalism.
Yeah, eat the other guy. But it would also be survival cannibalism if I had to eat them. Yes. I was combining two of them.
So you're mixing them up.
I'm combining. I'm combining. It's like a, you know, it's a fun buffet.
So.
I would not eat myself. Thank you.
No. But if you chew your fingernails, you kind of do.
I don't chew my fingernails.
People that eat their boogers are auto cannibals.
I don't do any of those things.
There was a girl in grammar school that, I can't.
This is my favorite thing about you. The best thing is that there are things that gross Acadia out so much he can't even talk about them because he gags. And apparently one of them is booger eating, and another one is popping zits.
Oh.
Oh, God. I love it.
I don't...
So you actually couldn't cannibalize anybody because you couldn't eat their face or their zits or their boogers.
No, it would have to be... clean and lovely preparations like I work if there was a Venn diagram of the medical world, it would be a circle of important people in medicine, and then there would be another circle not touching that circle at all with me in it.
But, that's right, exactly.
However, sometimes I have to help the people in that other circle. And recently, they were like, yeah, we made this video of this really cool procedure. And we want to make, like, it needs to get edited.
Now, let me tell you, what their idea of really cool is, is really cool if I read about it happening, but when I see it happening, it just makes me fucking barf all over the place. And it was, you know how they put stents in your arteries?
Yeah, my best friend's dad just had that done this week.
Well, this was somebody who had, they were being fed by a feeding tube into their stomach.
Yep, I have a friend, his little boy has that too, two friends.
And apparently the person's esophagus was, I don't know, gonna, because they weren't using it.
It was gonna, like, collapse. They put a stent
in the esophagus.
Right.
To hold it open.
Can't you feel that, though, kind of?
No, well, apparently they make them now so that they, like, don't slide down into your stomach and shit like that.
All right.
So, yeah, they were all like, oh, isn't this cool? And all the other fucking people that work there are all, like, watching me do it while I'm just dying inside. They're like, that's so great.
Oh, because you're so horrified by it.
Yes.
Oh, God. Wow.
So,
well, and good job not actually dying.
And nobody ate anything there, so it really didn't have anything to do with this episode. It just has to do with me.
It just has to do with you being disgusted by things. Boogers.
And I don't want those people, like, even the grown-up, I'm thinking of, there was a girl in grammar school that would lift her desk up to, like, hide.
Yeah.
So she could pick her nose and eat her boogers.
Wow, I can't believe it grosses you out so much.
So I saw. Oh, you know what? I would take farts all day. I would get Dutch ovened by Curly from Lost for a day straight rather than have to watch somebody eat this. Okay, set off, set
off. Poor Acadia. So traumatized. Oh. So traumatized. Oh. So sad.
Since B-Nab fucking took a powder again,
well, next, yeah,
we're going to talk about survival cannibalism.
Yes.
And I had given her,
I know,
this section because I assume that someday her daughter will have to eat her since she's a drunk who can't cook.
By the way, all evidence to the contrary, as she constantly posts pictures of beautiful food that she makes, but that's fine.
Yeah, no, she posts pictures of beautiful food.
Okay.
There's no pictures of her making it.
Oh, Jesus. All right, so I'm going to read this part now.
You're going to read this very important, not one, but two important stories.
Should I have sound effects ready for these stories?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Is the first one is the winter storm one.
Okay.
And then the second one is the ocean one.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, so I'm sure you are all somewhat familiar with Uruguayan Air Force Flight 571. It crashed into the Andes Mountains, in 1972, with 45 people on board. After a few days, there were still 27 people alive, which is pretty good considering that it is on the top of a freezing cold mountain, and oh yeah, your plane crashed. Anyway, they were stuck on a mountain 11,000 feet in the air with no heat. But they did have a radio that could receive but not send. So they discovered on their stupid radio that people had stopped looking for them. Faced with that grim news, they didn't decide to all just kill themselves. Instead, they decided to eat the people who were conveniently preserved in the minus a million degree temperatures. So they kept themselves alive doing that and sent two poor bastards off walking. But those two bastards found help after 10 days, and the remaining survivors, bellies full of their pals, were rescued 72 days after the plane crashed. Wow. You know, I guess you do what you got to do.
And this was, it was a 1993 movie called Alive that was about that.
Right. Right.
Whole thing.
Exactly. All right. So, another famous case. Hold on. Another famous case. We will do the Donner Party in its own episode because what a shit show that was, is Richard Parker, the cabin boy. Oh, boy.
Not the movie cabin
boy. Not the movie cabin boy.
Awesome.
hold on. I screwed it up. Oh, okay. Here we go. Try again. Okay. Richard had been on a yacht purchased by a rich Australian guy in 1884 in Southampton, England. He needed to get it to Australia, so he hired four men, Tom Dudley, the captain, Edwin Stevens, Edmund Brooks, and Richard Parker, the cabin boy, who didn't really know much about oceans and boats and whatnot. They left in May, and then in July, fuck old-timey travel was slow. They got swamped by a big wave, and they were stuck in the ocean with nothing but two cans of turnips. Is that true?
That's true.
Oh, Jesus. They caught a sea turtle, so that fed them for a little bit, but they were going to go down for the count. Then at one point, Richard the cabin boy said, fuck it, and drank some seawater. His situation did not improve. Dude, everybody knows not to drink seawater. Don't drink seawater. So he was wicked sick, and Dudley the captain and one other guy named Stevens started looking at Richard and noticing he was turning into a giant hot dog. They had some back and forth about drawing straws to see who needed to get eaten. When they finally decided that sick Richard, who was full of seawater and more than likely in a coma, was the dinner for them. They didn't want him to die on his own, though, because that would spoil his blood or some shit. So they, with Richard supposedly muttering, what, me? While they did it, oh, Jesus, shoved a jackknife into his neck. Ugh. I assume they caught his blood in one of the turnip cans, but who knows? Well, Jesus.
Don't waste it.
Oh, Jesus. That's
so now
horrifying.
I'm going to interject here for a minute to point out something that makes this whole thing even, like, fucking more tragic than it already is.
All right.
And it's also a helpful hint to anybody who ends up in a lifeboat with Jen.
Oh, okay.
There is a thing called protein poisoning. It's also known as rabbit starvation.
Okay.
And what it means is you have really, really bad malnutrition and are essentially starving to death because you're not eating any fat.
All right. Now,
the reason they call it rabbit starvation is because if there were people that only had rabbit to eat and they got it because it's super, super, super lean.
It's lean. Okay.
Yeah. There's no, it's not. You can live, but it's not helping you really any. So if you're in the lifeboat with Jen and you think eventually you're going to have to eat her, don't wait until she's like all skin and bones, because then if you eat her, it's not going to do anything for you. You got to pop her right away.
Don't worry, guys. You can wait a while. You can wait a while.
Sir, why did you kill her? Well, I thought we were going to... Sir, you could see the beach.
Oh, Jesus.
So, that's a little tip for everybody. There is a terrible thing called rabbit starvation.
And you don't want to have it happen.
Mal de caribou.
What?
That for a name. Mal de caribou. Because apparently it happens with caribou, too.
But oh, anyway, okay. Why does it happen with caribou? They're vegetarians.
No, I mean eating caribou, not...
Oh, I was like, what?
Caribous don't eat... Yes, caribou and rabbits are natural
animals. I was like, I totally lost what was happening there. I was utterly very, very confused.
Whoa! Oh my god, I gotta take that away.
You love it. You love it.
Program.
All right. All right,
so now you have all the parts. So now that I've told everybody what rabbit starvation is, please continue.
Okay, like I said, though, you can wait a while if you're stuck in a boat with me. Like, there's plenty of fat on here. Okay, no, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, you know, thick thighs save lives and all that stuff. Okay,
well, now apparently in this case, that's literal.
Then literally they do. Yep. Now, the whole reason why we know what happened was that the three guys who ate poor Richard the cabin boy got rescued and told everyone that that happened. And the third guy, Brooks, totally sold the other two out and said they shouldn't kill him. I mean, he still ate him, but he didn't kill him. Oh, so two of the guys were like, let's kill Richard. And the other guy was like, no, don't do it. But then he was like, oh, yeah, I'll have some. Which meant that a brave story of survival at sea suddenly becomes a story of you fuckers murdered dumb Richard the cabin boy. There was a trial, and despite the fact that the people in the boat had to fight off a shark, things did not look good for the defense. Ultimately, the judge said, "It must not be supposed that in refusing to admit temptation to be an excuse for crime, it is forgotten how terrible the temptation was, how awful the suffering, how hard in such trials to keep the judgment straight and the conduct pure. We are often compelled to set up standards we cannot reach ourselves and to lay down rules which we cannot ourselves justify. But a man has no right to declare temptation to be an excuse, though he might himself have yielded to it, nor allow compassion for the criminal to change or weaken in any manner the legal definition of the crime." Dudley and Stevens were sentenced to the statutory death penalty with a recommendation for mercy.
Yep.
Wow.
Big deal when it happened because...
What year was this again? Did you tell
1883,
us?
1883, I
think.
Okay. And it was a big deal at the time because they were like, well, what the fuck? We were going to die if we didn't eat him. And they're like, yeah, but you killed him. And they're like, but we would have died. They're like, yeah, but it wasn't self-defense.
Poor die Richard together.
The cabin boy wasn't killing you. The son was.
Right.
Thanks, Obama.
Exactly. Obama was killing him.
I mean, obviously. Everything's his fault, right? Wow.
Yep-a-roo.
Yep-a-roony. Wow.
So, yeah. So that's a thing.
Yeah.
That is a thing. That is survival cannibalism. And the reason I said we'll do the Donner Party later is because...
You want to have a whole show about it?
Had a lot more problems than cannibalism.
Hey, I have a question. Did you watch or read Life of Pi?
No.
Okay. Well.
No. But I'm not going to, so I don't care. So what's up?
Oh, okay. Well, so, first of all, the movie's pretty good, but the book
is... Is there spoilers for Life of Pi?
Oh, there's going to be spoilers. So, if you want to read the book or watch the movie, there's going to be spoilers now. I'm spoiling the movie. The movie will be spoiled. Ready?
All right.
Okay, here you go. So, I read the book first, and then I saw the movie. The book is better, of course, as always. So, it's the story of a boy whose name is Pi, spelled P-I. He's Indian. His family all... He grows up in India, and his dad actually... Well, I guess his parents ran a zoo, like a small zoo there. And at some point, they decided they were going to... moved to Canada, and I actually can't remember if they're going to keep taking care of the animals or not, but they're on a boat, literally with all the animals from the zoo, going to Canada. And the ship, there's a shipwreck. The ship sinks, and the family and all the animals are in the water, which is terrible and very upsetting, right?
Except for the fish.
Well, right, it's great for the fish. So, but you know, in this, it's really well written. Like in the book, the family, like, it was a small zoo, but they like cared about the animals. So like the animals all had names, and like the kid Pi like knew all the animals, you know. So it's very upsetting, and obviously like his family is drowning and stuff. So it's terrible. So he survives. He ends up in a lifeboat with a zebra, a tiger, an orangutan, and a hyena. A big lifeboat, like one that's on a giant ship. So
why would you want those things?
Well, he didn't. Well, so this is what happened. At first, I think the zebra was just like had like fallen in the boat, like it was just in the boat, and then the kid helped the orangutan, and the hyena might have just been in the boat too. The orangutan swam over and got in the boat because he's like smart, and then the kid saw the tiger swimming around, and for some reason that he could never really like define, he helped the tiger get in the boat too, even though he was like,
terrible idea.
Why am I helping a tiger get in the boat? The tiger's going to eat all of us. Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm trying not to like tell too long of a story, but, in the end, the only two that survive are the kid and the tiger, and they have to learn to survive together in the boat. So, like, the kid has to, like, get the tiger to respect him and all this stuff. And, like, there's all this complicated, crazy shit that goes on. Anyway.
The tiger ate him.
No, the tiger never eats him. They make it to land somewhere in South America. And the tiger walks off into the woods and the guy never sees him again. So, which is crazy. But anyway, so, but after all of this stuff happens, the like insurance company or whatever comes to interview the kid in the hospital, and they want his statement about what happened. And so he was gone for like months out on the water. So, you know, he was like catching fish, and he worked out a way to like, he had some water in the boat, and then he worked out a way to like purify the seawater through like evaporation and all this stuff.
Tiger.
No, not through the tiger. And so he was eating and drinking like enough to live. Right. So he tells this incredible story, and the insurance people like don't believe him. And they're like, can you tell us a different story that like is believable? And so he's like, okay, sure. The zebra was my mom. The orangutan was like, whatever. He says that the animals were people instead. And so he makes it into this story about the people like killing each other. Like one of the people wants to kill the other people to eat them and all this stuff. Like the boat, like you're saying, like there's a right. couple of people who are like, let's kill the, you know, the injured zebra or whatever. And the other people are like, no, don't do that or whatever. And it's like all disturbing when you think it's people. When it's animals, it seems like fine. But when it's people, it's incredibly disturbing. And so then he tells that story, and then they're like, okay, fine, that's the story. And he's like, yeah, but that's not really the story. It was really animals. Like, I just told you that because you wanted me to change the story. It really happened with the animals. I don't really know what my point is. I'm just, it reminded me of it because it was this weird thing where, like, the guy who wanted to kill the other animals was represented by the hyena. The hyena was the like nasty cook that he didn't like who worked on the ship, and he wanted to kill the other animals and all this stuff, and he was like, no, don't kill them, we'll be okay. And he was like, we have to or we'll die or whatever. And that was like the hyena killing the zebra or something at the beginning. I don't know. You're welcome for that useless story. But
well, so there's a good non-cannibalism story. Wow. All right.
Well,
I mean, it's true.
I'm just trying to say, I guess I was trying to say, I'm saying I don't know how I could eat people, but I'm just saying if it was a bunch of animals, they would all eat each other. Like, they're not going to be like, no, let's wait and see if somebody helps us, or, oh, I feel bad. You just, they do it, right? Because,
I mean, I guess I would say, like, what you're saying is, I'll eat an orangutan and a zebra all day.
Well, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is most people would find that more acceptable. I wouldn't.
Not the orangutan.
Right. The kid didn't. By the way, the kid didn't eat any of the animals ever. He was a vegetarian. He didn't eat any of the animals.
Well, what the fuck was he eating?
Oh, he ate fish. He ate fish. He didn't eat any of the animals on the boat.
That's not vegetarian.
He's a pescatarian then. Ah, fucking. God damn it.
He was. All right. Yeah. Well then.
Well, you're welcome.
Survival cannibalism notwithstanding.
Yes.
We're now going to move into learned cannibalism. And this is just the way it sounds. It's people told you this is what you do. And that's where the Catholic joke comes in because
like, you eat Jesus every week.
Every week.
Every week. And
they're not even saying it's symbolic. They're saying, nope, that's transubstantiation.
Yeah, transubstantiation is literally you're eating Jesus' flesh.
That was why that I couldn't find the clip from Always Sunny, but when Charlie goes, so what you're telling me is this person came back from the dead, and then every week you proceed to eat the man?
Right.
When you say it like that, it sounds stupid. So. Right. We're now going to go into learned cannibalism, subset endo-cannibalism, which is eating your own people. And this is basically, you know, people whose organizational construct is a tribe.
Right.
And it's been around for a long time. Mind you, they have found really, really old fossils of like campfires and shit like that.
Right.
Of bones that have obviously been cleaned and people were like gnawing on them and everything.
Right.
And there were people bones mixed in with the animal bones.
Right.
So I think from the beginning, people were like, I'm going to eat whatever I can get.
Right.
So we had to eventually like, and here's the part of it that I don't get. This is
no boy. I can't
sound dumb, but I understand why incest is a taboo.
Thank you for understanding that. Because
you'll have freak
babies. Mm-hmm.
But, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, the 4A tribe, I think it's there's two of them. There's the 4A tribe and the Wari tribe. One of them is in Papua New Guinea. Yeah. The New Guinea ones, sometimes they'd get basically the human equivalent of mad cow disease because they would eat their buddy's brains.
Right.
So if you immediately got sick from eating any part of a person, then that would explain the taboo. But if you only get sick if you eat their brain, then I don't get it. Like, you'd think people would do it all the time. Anyway, the 4A tribe, they would, it's part of a ritual. And when somebody dies, they believe eating their flesh lets them absorb the loved one's wisdom and release their spirit.
Hmm.
Make sense?
Sure, on some level.
Now, just so you can be all woke.
Oh, God.
They passed this thing down for generations and generations, and they made a big deal about the women and children eating the dead men.
Okay.
Like, a woman had to eat her brother's brain, or... I don't know why this example is in the article that I read, but her brother-in-law's hands. I don't know why
Jesus.
That is so specific, but whatever. So I guess that just gets written off as, hey, what are you going to do? It's a tribe, you know?
Yep.
So then there's a Wari tribe in the Amazon. They try to transform their ancestors' bodies into spirits by chewing them up and eating them. And then they stop doing that. So basically there's no more like real cannibals now.
Right.
However, when we go into exocannibalism.
Oh boy.
Which is eat the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
We got examples up the fucking wazoo.
Nice.
I'm going to start with something that I am pretty sure you probably believe.
Okay.
That I found out to be completely crazy.
Okay.
So, you know, Columbus came to the New World, Spanish, blah, 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 everything like that.
Yep.
And one of the ways that he got his way was by telling everybody what savages the Aztecs and the Mayans were.
Right.
Like, oh, fuck, you know, they're terrible. And one of the things they specifically said that they were cannibals and they had ritual sacrifices and they did all this nasty shit. And they're just a bunch of, sure, they make good cities, but they're fucking terrible.
Right.
And conventional wisdom was, of course he's going to say that because he has to demonize them because we conquered them and blah, blah, blah. Right?
Right.
Turns out, not really exaggerating.
Hmm.
Archaeologists have found that they were some nasty fuckers. And they had pictorial texts known as codices that would have pictures of like a pot with like a bunch of arms and legs sticking out of it. And
oh, Jesus.
And it turned out that it was real. Like
they really threw people in pots. Nice. And
so the Spanish accounts at the time quote Indians as describing multiple forms of brutal human sacrifice, but nobody believed them, you know, after olden times, because they were like, oh, of course they're exploiting them and blah, blah, blah. But now they're like digging up all these bones and shit, and they found victims that had their hearts cut out, decapitated, shot full of arrows, clawed, sliced, stoned, crushed, skinned, buried alive, or sometimes they just brought him up to the top of the temple and threw him the fuck off.
Wow.
Children were said to be frequent victims because they were considered pure and unspoiled.
Of course.
So a lot of people said we can't trust these codices things because the Spaniards were describing all this horrible shit. But it turned out that they weren't even lying.
Thanks, Obama.
Exactly. Now, in 2005, they did an dig. Mm-hmm. And in Ecatepec, just north of Mexico City. And they found evidence of human sacrifice associated with the god of death. And it said, the sacrifice involved burning or partially burning victims. We found a burial pit with the skeletal remains of four children who were partially burned. Jesus. And the remains of four other children that were completely carbonized. Ugh. Although the remains don't show whether the victims were burned alive, there are depictions of people
being burned alive,
apparently alive, being held down as they were burned.
Wonderful.
So
the Aztecs were jerks.
And they ate people.
And they burned children alive.
And they burned children alive.
So they were a bunch of dicks.
But they also made some pretty sweet cities.
Well,
so
I don't know what to take away from that.
I guess. There's no moral here. It's just everything is terrible.
You can have nice cities and also be terrible child eaters. Okay, great.
So now.
Got it.
One of the and this is sort of a. I guess it's more of a survival cannibalism than exocannibalism because they're really it's 100%. You're aware of Leningrad?
No.
What happened in World War II?
No.
So basically, long story short, Hitler invaded Russia. Terrible idea. Had he not done it, we'd probably all be speaking German right now, or be dead. And one of the things they did was surround the city of Leningrad and lay siege. Now, this was, you know, it wasn't a castle. It was a city.
Right.
But the fucking Germans did not leave.
Right.
They were there, and I forget, I want to say 3 million people.
In the city? Really?
Yeah, died.
Oh, Jesus. How big was this?
Like, if you, it's, let me,
3 million people died?
Piece of, yeah, I'll give you one little piece of perspective on World War II.
Okay.
20 million Russians died.
Seriously?
Yes.
Jesus.
20 million. Exactly. Now, Stalin, after that, killed probably that many again because he was a crazy dictator. But during the war itself, like for reals, 20 million died.
That's and a lot of people.
The other thing that doesn't get talked about a lot was that 9 out of every 10 Germans killed in World War II killed by a Russian.
Huh.
Yep. So now, I was a little wrong on my facts. The Germans laid siege to Leningrad for 900 days, and 1 million civilians died.
That's still a lot of people. Like, now, what's the population of Leningrad at the time, you know?
The reason it's in this story is because a siege is a siege.
Right.
You're not getting any stuff.
Right.
So they were starving.
Right.
Like, they started eating each other. Starving.
Right.
They
ate all the goats and chickens, and then
everything was gone. They ate all the horses. They ate everything. They pulled the wallpaper off the walls so they could eat the glue.
Oh my god!
It got so bad that the police had to set up a task force to go and stop bands of people who were just grabbing people so they could eat them.
Oh Jesus. I have a
people
story,
would
but
not
you finish
let
your
their
story.
Kids out,
right?
Because they would literally get kidnapped and eaten,
right?
And half-eaten bodies actually littered the streets.
Oh, God. Now, why half-eaten? Wouldn't you finish
it? I don't know. Maybe somebody saw them and they ran away.
Oh, God. So they were nibbling on them raw on the streets? I guess, like zombies?
Yep.
Jesus. Oh, God. Have you seen that movie, The Road, or read the book?
No.
Okay. Well, I didn't read the book, but the movie is horrifying. Like,
well, okay.
No, I'm just...
You just have a movie follow-up to every part. This is pretty good.
Sorry, no. There's some really... It's just some of the most, like, disturbing scenes. So it's, like, post-apocalyptic, you know, there's been some kind of nuclear thing happening or whatever. And right. There's this guy, Viggo Mortensen plays the guy, is traveling with his son, trying to get somewhere more safe. Basically, they don't know if there is someplace more safe. But they have to constantly watch out for cannibals, basically. They're like, everywhere they go, it's like, oh, what's that? Was that a cannibal? What's over there? Is that a cannibal? Like, they're just in fear of cannibals constantly, and it's so fucking disturbing.
Well, and there's, like... could you figure out which ones are the cannibals?
No, basically, if they
run... out of their mouth?
Well, almost everyone they run into, they're scared as a cannibal. But there are, like, these scenes. There's a scene I remember where they're, like, walking on a kind of a path through the woods, and there's, like, a clearing over to the side, and you see, like, a woman and her kid in this field. And I guess that sometimes there are some kind of warnings, like cannibals are there, like there's like a head on a stick or something disturbing like that. You're supposed to know that means cannibals are there. And this woman and her kid are like walking through the field like they didn't see the warning. And then you see people like coming out of the woods to attack them, and she starts freaking out because she knows what's happening. She's like, oh shit, I got caught by the cannibals. And she starts just like freaking out in like pure terror. And he and his kid just have to like quietly walk away because they can't do anything about it. And there's a woman who's about to get eaten by people. And it's just so disturbing. Ugh, there's a lot of very disturbing cannibal scenes in that movie. So
Wow. Don't
watch it if you can't handle it.
Okie dokie.
Okay, well, carry on.
At least that's not real.
Yeah. Well, but what you're describing is reminding me of it. That's what I'm saying. So it was apparently real in World War II.
Now, we're going to talk about the Japanese in World War II.
Oh, boy.
The most bloodthirsty motherfuckers.
Oh, God.
We could do a whole episode on what they did to China. As a matter of fact, we should do a whole episode of what they did to China. But anyway, this little piece, because Japan didn't have a bunch of people to fight. They fought China. They hate China.
Right.
And China hates them right back.
Right.
So, when they went to China, their POWs, they would kill them, strip all the meat, the eatable meat. So basically they were bones, but they still had like hands and feet. Some of them got the meat ripped off them while they were still alive and then get thrown in a pit to die. And the fucked up part about this is they weren't starving.
Right. They just did it. They just
did it to like fuck with them. And be like, we're such badasses, we ate you.
Well, maybe you'd like to ask Newt Gingrich what he thinks about that.
What?
Do you not know about this? You actually literally get all your news from me. Newt Gingrich tweeted on December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, quote, 75 years ago, the Japanese displayed professional brilliance and technological power, launching surprises from Hawaii to the Philippines. That's it. That was his tweet. As if he was like, hey, congratulations on a job well done, Japan. Thanks for Pearl Harbor.
Well, they got theirs, didn't they?
I mean, it was so weird. Anyway, carry on.
Well, all right.
He doesn't think they're bloodthirsty. He thinks they're professional and smart.
Well, I mean, it was a good attack. It tricked us.
I know, but Jesus, so inappropriate.
So, so Japan was terrible, and they fucking ripped people's meat. Think about that. You're alive, and people just rip your
skinning
arm
you.
Muscle out of your arm.
While you're think, alive. Do you think when that happens, that like, does your brain just shut off? Like, you just go into shock and be unaware of what's happening?
How would your brain even have a fucking setting for that? Like, how would your brain go, all right, well, this is what we're going to do if someone rips the muscle?
No, I'm saying that's what shock is. When you go into shock, it's your body trying to shut off, like, being aware of horrible pain, right? So I'm pretty sure you'd go into shock immediately.
They need some fucking goddamn shock for that.
Yeah.
Now, China, on the other hand, after World War II, when Mao was in charge, he had a big, you know, this big great leap forward cultural revolution thing, blah, 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 and everything.
Right.
And
that thing that we all learned in American history, in our American schools.
One of the things that wasn't really widely publicized was that during that time, there was an incredible famine for 20 years.
Oh, no big deal. Just 20-year famine.
And he didn't tell anybody because he was like, no, this is fine.
Everything's cool. It's the dog in the burning room. This is fine.
Exactly.
I'm fine with everything that's taking place.
There were markets that sold human meat.
Shut your face.
I will not.
Oh, God. This is such a disturbing episode.
And
Jesus.
They would switch children because people didn't want to eat their own children.
So you'd switch, like with your neighbor's kids, and then you'd eat them?
Because it's less gross than eating your own kids.
Well, why wouldn't you just steal the neighbor's kids and eat them? Why would you hand over yours so that your neighbor could eat your kid?
I mean, it was 20 years. You got to keep...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, none of that was good.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And then in the Crusades, of course, no one ever did anything good in the Crusades.
No, nothing is good about the Crusades.
But both sides did it. They would just kill people and then eat them. And
Jesus! Because
you had a whole army going across, like, thousands of miles, and there's no way you can feed them all. And there's a great picture I'm going to give you to put in the thing of just people literally just eating other people. There's a guy holding a baby.
Eating it?
Yep. Well, he's trying to anyway.
Holding it like a chicken, like a turkey leg or something?
No, he's holding it like right at his head is... Oh, you'll see.
Oh, I can't wait.
Maybe he's trying to play it like a flute. Anyway, God. So not only did that happen, but then also during the Crusades... There were sieges. Yeah, these sieges, they're bad. Of a place called Mara and another place called Antioch. And these were the Saracens, otherwise known as the Muslims. And they were sieging the Christians.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, since the Christians were all hungry and shit, if they caught somebody, they would cut off pieces of their ass and fry them up.
Jesus. Literally their ass?
Yes.
Lovely.
And then sometimes they were too hungry and they didn't cook it good enough and then they got sick. Oh. And then supposedly they were... So if you're gonna eat ass, cook it well...
Oh, my God.
And then there were other stories that the Crusaders boiled adults and roasted children on spits, but, you know.
As one does.
They did, because the fucking world is terrible. And then the Tang Dynasty in China, they did one thing.
Okay.
It was called revenge cannibalism.
Of course.
So if there was somebody in the town that they didn't like, they didn't vote you out of office. They beat you to death and ate you.
Nice.
And sometimes if somebody got accused of a crime and convicted, and their punishment would be having their heart pulled out.
Oh my God.
So that, like, the mayor could eat a piece of it.
Oh.
And so these are all things I want to just point out. We started this story with
a group of people pushed to limits that we cannot imagine.
Right.
And one group of them, because I did this in this order on purpose, right. One group of people who said, well, this poor fucker's in a coma. He drank a bunch of seawater.
Right.
We're going to die if we don't eat him.
Right.
And if we wait until he dies on his own, I don't know, he'll spoil. It's like if a clam doesn't open, you don't eat it, like, I guess.
Right. Right.
They got put in jail.
Right.
But there's like a bazillion stories of people just eating the fuck out of people for no reason.
Right. Just to be dicks.
And they didn't get sick.
Ugh.
Like, that's the, like,
that's the real problem.
That's what you got to be worried about, you know.
Oh my god.
Undercooked pork.
Oh.
Like on the grill, you know, when like somebody says they're going to grill chicken, like chicken on the bone, and you're all nervous because you know it's going to be burned to shit on the outside and raw on the inside.
Oh.
And then you like you really want to believe in them, so you take a big bite, and it's just all bloody against the bone.
No, that's never happened to me. That's never happened to me, and now I'm horrified.
What do you mean it's never happened to you?
I have never had somebody give me raw chicken.
Even if they thought it was cooked?
Here's the thing. Apparently, I don't eat food cooked by people who can't cook meat properly. I have never bitten into chicken and had it be raw, ever in my life. That is disgusting.
Well,
I would probably never eat chicken again.
That happened to me.
Oh, God.
I think I did it to somebody, too.
Oh, Jesus. Get a meat thermometer.
No, you don't.
Yes.
You know what?
Or get salmonella. You know, whatever.
Human meat.
It's human meat. I wish I could play just that part. I won't do it right if I try.
It's right at the end. Just
I know, but I can't. And my thing won't do at the end. I got to.
Human meat.
Oh, God. So disturbing.
All right. So now, do we agree that the world is a fucking terrible thing?
Yes.
Okay.
We should leave the planet Earth immediately.
Except that I haven't even gotten to the bad parts. That's why this is a two-parter.
I know.
The second part of this show is the bad part. This is the, that's mildly interesting part.
Oh, God damn it.
Yep.
So
I told you there was going to be a backlash. All these cutesy secret codes in Cuba.
Yeah. Now we're into the disturbing shit again.
That's back.
Thanks a lot. All right. So I'm going now. My turn.
Yep. You're up.
All right. Now this is our first ever two-part episode. But before we go, we need to talk about the weird case of Armin Muse.
Muse. Yeah.
Muse was a 40-year-old dude from Rottenburg, Germany, who happened to post on the site Cannibal Cafe. And in case you thought it was something else, it is exactly what you think. A site for people with cannibal fetishes to talk to each other. Okay. I'm taking a deep breath here. Okay. So, I mean, what do you play for that? I mean, what do you... I don't know what to do.
You're going to wear that sound out in this story.
I know. More chewing noises? I don't know. Ugh. So Armin decided to really put himself out there, and the computer repair technician eventually posted an advertisement that said, and I quote, looking for a well-built 18 to 30-year-old to be slaughtered and then consumed. Well, that's great. Now we have a joke for B-Nev, so I'm going to skip that.
Oh, but it's such a good joke.
All right, well, but it doesn't apply to me, so we'll just pretend. Now, considering my history with Tinder... I am not expecting that Armin is going to get a lot of response. Wait a minute, he got a bunch of responses from people who chickened out. It should be noted that while next week we will be talking about some horrible fucking people, Armin did not force anyone to do anything they didn't want to do. So if they showed up at his place and said, yeah, sure, eat me or whatever, then changed their minds, Armin just said, later, Armin was a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
He did not eat anyone against their will.
But multiple people
showed up and then were like, just kidding. And he was like, okay, see you
well,
never.
No, they were. I think they
smell you later. They got scared of being eaten and consumed? Oh, that's so strange.
His ad was not misleading.
Right. I'm not really sure what the people were showing up for. Did they think it was a joke, or they thought they did want to be?
No, because the only place you would have seen it. Have you ever been to Cannibal Cafe for?
What I'm saying is, what were they like?
I think they wanted to get eaten, and then they
changed their mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what a bunch of pussies. Okay. Anyway.
You want to eat?
Yeah. Go back to your girlfriend. Okay. And then. And then in March 2001, he got a response from Bernd Jürgen Armando Brandes, an engineer from Berlin. Apparently, when Armin said, "So, yeah, I'm gonna eat you now, and I want to videotape it," Bernd was just like, "Okay!" Mm-hmm. Wow. The video has never been seen by anyone but Armin, presumably Brandes, and the court. So we will never get to see any of the following classic scenes. Brandes insisting that Armin try to bite his cock off. Mm-hmm. Armin trying and not being able to do it. Wow, that's...
You can stop between any of these.
To throw up? Okay, so first of all, the guy shows up and is like, "Hey, I'm here for you to eat me." And the guy's like, "Great, so I'm going to eat you and I want a video edit." And he's like, "Cool." Then he's like, "Please bite my cock off." And then, so first of all, no. Secondly, Armin can't even do it. I mean, there's so many jokes I could make here. But
eat a dick.
I mean,
can no longer be a thing.
Apparently, it's hard to do.
Read the next note.
Armin finally getting a knife and chopping off Brandis's penis. Great. Mm-hmm. With a knife. Oh my god. Okay. And Brandes, I don't know if I'm saying his name right. I'm just going to pretend I am. And Brandes trying to eat his own dick, but not being able to, not because he was trying to eat his own raw severed dick, but because it was too tough and chewy. You know, if Armin was any kind of gentleman, he would cook it first.
It's funny that you say that.
Muse trying to be a bro and cook the dick with wine, salt, pepper, and garlic, and then using some of burned Brandis's fat to, like, I don't know, make a sauce, but whatever.
Yep.
Muse being a terrible cook and burning the whole thing, chopping it up into little pieces and feeding it to his dog. But since it was in Germany, maybe it was a wiener dog.
Wiener dog.
Oh my god. Jesus. Now, it may have been that Brandes had lost too much blood to be strong enough to chew his own dick. Muse, who, remember, was a nice guy, got his buddy drunk on schnapps and sleeping pills and finally killed him in the bathtub by cutting his throat. Wow. What a fun hangout.
This is not ambiguous. There's a videotape that has this on it.
So wait, how does anyone know that if no one's seen it besides Armin?
The court.
So the court has seen it.
Right. I said the video has never been seen by anyone but Armin, presumably Brandes.
Oh, and the court. All right, sorry. I forgot that part. Okay.
So, hey, you know what you should do? Bite my dick off. Fuck, I can't, guy. All right, well then chop it off. All right, now give me it. I don't want to eat it. Oh, I can't. It's like chewing old gum.
Oh, God.
Well, don't worry. You just stay here with your dick chopped off. I'll go cook it.
Oh, my God.
But wait. I don't have any butter, so let me get some of your fat from somewhere.
Oh, God. Not his dick?
No.
So what do you do? Slice off some of his back or something?
Love handle.
Oh, Jesus.
Ugh, okay. At least he was drunk and on pills.
I can't. Okay.
I don't think that would be enough for me.
No. Nothing would be enough for me. No. I can't even watch people get stabbed in movies. Like, no.
Well, you would never watch this movie. So I'll
No.
I won't make you do the end part.
All right, you do the next part.
Okay. So then he brought the butt, so he was dead now. Poor yeah. Burned.
Sorry, Burned.
Burned was burned.
Wah, wah.
Oh, God.
He had brought the body to the room in his house he had made specifically for this occasion, should it ever actually happen, and hung Brandis on a big meat hook.
Oh, God.
He chopped off big hunks of him and froze it for later, and even tried to pull a giant from the Jack and the Beanstalk deal and grind his bones to make his bread. Seriously.
Oh, my God.
He tried to grind up his bones to make flour.
Oh, come on.
Now, it didn't work.
Obviously, because that's not how you make flour.
You can't go by what giants that live at the top of beanstalks do.
Right, that's not real life, guys. Even for cannibals.
He got caught in December of 2002. Now, remember, this...
When did this happen?
In the beginning of 2001.
Okay. So does that mean he killed a bunch more people?
Number one, all the way through to December of 2002, when what happened was somebody on the cannibal site saw him talking about it.
Oh, God.
And told the German cops, and they were like, what is this? And they investigated it.
Right.
And they found, hidden under pizza boxes in his freezer, more of
human meat. Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
Now, here's the fucked up thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of fucked up things, but like, so March to the following December is a good amount of time.
Yep.
So what, 21 months?
Yeah.
During that time, he ate 44 pounds of burned.
Oh my God.
44
Oh my
pounds.
God. Oh my God. Why? I don't understand.
Like, that's a lot of quarter pounders. Like, if you just made
God.
Quarter pounders.
Oh my God.
That would be 176 quarter pounders.
Oh my God, so disturbing. It's so gross.
He ate the guy.
Yeah.
For 21 months. He just kept going, oh, should I stop at Zimaka?
Should I have,
oh,
should
no.
should I have some burned tonight? Oh my God.
Yep. Probably cooked him a lot of different ways too.
Oh my God.
And he's the nice guy. Now,
guess I'm not fun enough to be invited.
You don't want to get invited to Armin's house.
I know. It's true. Although I really don't. Say,
this has been lovely, and I enjoyed the schnapps. However, I do not want you to eat my dick.
Oh.
He'd just be like, okay, buddy.
Okay, buddy. See you later.
I'm going back to Dusseldorf or whatever.
Berlin.
Well, no. The other guy, I assume, was from Dusseldorf.
Oh, the other guy who he didn't eat.
The chicken out.
Right. The chicken.
So, I mean, during the trial, first he got convicted of manslaughter, but that was kind of because they didn't have a law for what if somebody tells you it's okay to kill him.
Right.
But you shouldn't believe them because who would ever say that?
Oh, God. It's so gross.
And he ate him. For a long time. Like Costco levels of eating.
I mean, that's like you buy a side of beef, right?
Yep. A side of burned.
Oh, jeez. But an entire burned.
I don't even know how to feel bad, though, because they didn't. Nothing in my research said how fucked up burned was that, like, maybe he was just like, you know what?
I'd like you to eat me.
I want some dude to eat me.
Oh, my God. So gross. And disturbing.
Not close enough for you to not be able to do the crunchy sound effect, though.
Well, you know, I got to do what I got to do here. Come on.
What you got to do for the rest of tonight and all of tomorrow.
First of all,
picture the amount of trauma that an awake guy, I don't care how drunk,
mm-hmm.
how much fucking schnapps he had. You know what? I want to buy some schnapps tomorrow.
Oh, great. Please do.
Tomorrow night I'm drinking schnapps.
That was like the kind of alcohol that my parents always had in the house when I was a kid.
Yeah.
They'd have it like up in a cabinet, and every once in a while they'd like get one of those frozen Bacardi mix things and they'd throw some schnapps in the Bacardi thing in the blender and have, like, you know, a peach daiquiri or whatever.
Look at us! Whee!
Isn't that hilarious? Like, but twice a year.
Was then cut off your dad's dick.
No, they did not.
But so now, Burned said, hey, you know what you should do? Bite off my junk.
Right.
That's the start.
Right.
Then Armin tries.
Oh, God.
And can't.
And then he's like, you know what? Just cut it off.
But, like,
I can't. It's so gross.
He can't because he was like, oh, no, I can't do it. I think he really tried.
No, I believe you. I'm saying what's wrong. Well, I don't understand. Like,
I think.
Can't you bite, like.
Can't you think?
But can't your teeth bite through, like, I mean, you know. Like, don't people bite off fingers and stuff?
I only think that's a movie thing.
There's in bones in there.
Yeah, I don't know. But, like, all right, next time you eat a steak, see if you can just bite.
Oh, just bite straight through it?
It's fucking raw. This isn't like.
Yeah, you gotta grind through it. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, it's so disturbing.
He tried that, and then he's like, I'm sorry, Burned, it's not working out. Oh, that's okay. Gets a knife then.
Yeah, I guess we have omnivore teeth, not carnivore teeth.
Right. So then, okay, I'll just chop it off. And then, oh, let me get some of that.
Oh, God! Why? It's so horrible. Oh.
So.
Oh, Jesus.
Cannibalism is bad.
It's very bad. Don't
you and I
do that.
Continue to practice cantabilism.
Yes, cantable.
Thing of this whole thing. That and wiener dog.
Oh, Jesus.
That and fucking Burns, I want to eat you and kill you. Fucking one ad getting more play than
no, Armin's
Tinder thing.
Armin.
Yeah, Armin's thing. Armin got swiped right.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like a bunch. And his profile said, I will kill you and eat you.
Oh my God.
And that's the other thing, too. You have to be good looking in between 18 and 30. So, like, some fucking poor dumpy 44-year-old like, nobody wants to eat me.
I know. They're going to be all sad. Why would anybody eat me?
That you want to eat? That's really bad.
Oh, God damn it.
When, of course, we found out earlier in the episode, the plumper somebody is, the better they are for you.
Right. See?
Yep.
That's right.
Sorry, Olympics. No one's eating you.
That's right.
No one's going to eat Zac Efron.
That's right. Sorry, Zac.
Yep. I like to think somewhere Zac Efron just, like, turned his head, like...
He's like, someone talking to me?
In a really weird way. So, this ends part one of the cannibalism show.
Oh, God.
And I promise.
Yes.
I will do everything I can to make it worse.
Oh, Jesus. Why?
Because we did not get to pathological cannibalism.
Oh, God.
Nor did we get to forced auto-cannibalism.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
See, Burn trying to eat his own junk was auto-cannibalism.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
But forced works. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, the story about the forced auto-cannibalism is horrifying about America on so many levels. It's worse.
Is it worse than the Nebraska episode? Or is it impossible to say?
It's for one person.
Oh, Jesus.
It only involves one person. So in that respect, yes, the scope of Nebraska was horrifying. But yeah, okay. No one, it's,
The world's a fucking terrible place. And if it wasn't for us, well, two things. Number one, you wouldn't know most of these things.
You'd be much happier. You're welcome.
But also, you wouldn't be able to have a good attitude about the fact that you don't do these things.
Yeah. So you're welcome.
You know, like maybe a million Russians ate each other in Leningrad. On the other hand, Putin's a dick.
There you go.
But, and I'll tell you this, it explains a lot about the Russian people that they lost 20 million people in World War II. They were the ones that actually beat Hitler. Then Stalin killed 20 million of his own people.
God.
So when, like, Russians are, like, seem all mean and wearing, you know, squatting, wearing weird tracksuits and shit, that's in their bones. Like, this isn't... They've seen some shit.
They have seen some shit.
So, God. Your run-of-the-mill Russian probably knows way more people that got murdered than us.
That's awful.
So, now you can think about being the person was Armin's best friend at work. Hey, did you bring your lunch today? Yeah. What do you got there? Hoagie.
Oh, come on. Stop. It's so gross.
Hey, he ate a guy. He ate 44 pounds of the same guy.
That's it. We're done.
Well, all right. go to strangefulthings.com. Go to superficialgallery.com so you can find us, you know, on the reg.
On the reg.
Stay tuned for the next episode of Strangeful Things. Where
part two of this disturbing.
We will not be in Germany anymore. But I'm not going to tell you where we will be because I don't want you to look ahead.
That's right. So don't look ahead. And
it will change how you feel about America. Because you think you can't be surprised at how terrible our people can be. This story will change your mind.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
So, have a good week.
Have a good week.
Bye, everyone.
Don't want to ruin everyone's good time.